Advanced Level English from LinguaPress.com. Elizabeth II, the Queen Who Almost Wasn't. Queen Elizabeth II, who in 2015 became the longest-serving British monarch in history, wasn't born to be Queen. In fact, as a child in pre-war Britain, she never expected to be Queen. She, and everyone else, imagined that her uncle Edward, the king's eldest son, would follow normal tradition and become the next British monarch when his father, King George V, died, and that after him, the crown would pass to his son or daughter, assuming that he married and produced an heir. Elizabeth was the daughter of King George V's second son, Albert George. Albert, known in the family as Bertie, was a demure young man, much less popular and active than his older brother. He was shy and not very good at talking in public. Bertie's shyness and his speech impediment were both magnificently portrayed in the 2010 movie The King's Speech. Bertie, it was presumed, would remain the younger brother of the next king, Edward VIII, and his two daughters, Elizabeth and Margaret, would spend their life as minor royals, nieces of the king, or, when Edward VIII died, aunts of the next monarch, whether this was a king or a queen. Yet, as often happens, history did not go forward according to plan. In January 1936, King George V died at the age of 70, and the crown automatically passed to his elder son, Edward, Prince of Wales, who immediately became King Edward VIII. The British government was alarmed. Edward was seen as a playboy, notorious for his affairs with married women. The government, of course, couldn't remove a king, but they made it plain to him that he had to change his ways. Edward did not change his ways. On the contrary, he announced on November the 16th that he was going to marry his lover, Mrs. Wallis Simpson, a twice-divorced American. The British establishment was rocked to the core by this news. Social traditions in those days were strict, and it was expected that the future King of England would marry a young lady from the British or European aristocracy, not a divorced commoner from the USA. Eventually, Edward VIII realised that his plan to marry Wallis Simpson was going to cause a constitutional crisis, and on the 11th of December, before he had even been crowned, he abdicated, choosing love over kingship. It's probably fair to say that abdicating the kingship and marrying Wallis was for him not a very difficult choice, as during his few short months of reign, he'd amply shown that he was ill-suited to carry out the very heavy duties that fall to the head of state. So it was that Edward's younger brother Bertie, Albert George, found himself thrust into the limelight as he became the next King of England, a role which neither he nor his family had ever expected. He chose the regnal name George VI. George VI had two daughters, but no sons. So when he ascended to the throne as King of England on the 12th of May 1937, at the age of 41, it was his elder daughter, Elizabeth, aged 11, who suddenly found herself next in line to the British throne. Though Britain was plunged into war between 1939 and 1945, Elizabeth and the British people in general assumed that King George VI would live to a reasonable age, remaining king through until at least the 1960s or 1970s. As a princess and first in line to the throne, Elizabeth nonetheless began to take up some royal duties after the war ended, but with no sense of urgency. Her father, George VI, was very different from his elder brother Edward, and took the duties of kingship very seriously. In the post-war years, he was a very popular monarch, respected for his hard work and his attachment to his people. So it came as a bombshell when, on the 6th of February 1952, George VI, who was a heavy smoker, died of lung cancer at the age of just 56. While it was well known that the king was not in good health, no one was prepared for him to die so young, least of all his daughter Princess Elizabeth, who got the news of her father's death while on an official tour in Africa. She and her husband Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, immediately returned to Britain, where, at the age of just 26, she took up the heavy duties of Queen of England, the United Kingdom, and other realms. As a young child, Elizabeth never expected to become queen, but she did so, and has now achieved the distinction of being the longest-serving British monarch of all time, beating the record set by her great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, who reigned for 64 years, most of the 19th century. At the age of 94, Queen Elizabeth II still carries out many of the essential jobs of the head of state, though age and the COVID epidemic have combined to significantly reduce her workload since 2020. She still has regular discussions with her Prime Minister and signs the documents that require royal assent. While most people of her age have been retired for close on 30 years, Queen Elizabeth II has often intimated that she will never retire and will carry out her duties to the country and to her other dominions as long as she is able to. In 2021, Queen Elizabeth remains alert and in good health, and above all, remains probably the most genuinely popular head of state in the world. Over the past 70 years, the British royal family has had its ups and downs, but by and large, the Queen herself has remained popular with the large majority of the British population throughout her reign. If she reaches the age of 100, which will happen in 2026, she'll be the first head of state anywhere to reach such a milestone. End. And you can find the written transcript of this text on linguapress.com/advanced.